Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome to the fray, sports mappers. It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 since 1 o'clock, and now joined by the sports mappers on 94.1 FM for the final hour of the big show, and then we'll turn it over to the Blitz. They'll take you home till 7, and you don't have to do a thing. Simulcast on both stations. We love to be a part of that mix. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. It's an F Yeah Friday. Our comedian of the week is Sam Damaris. We've had two clips already, one coming up at 3:15. If you missed any of it, check the podcast. Good stuff. Barry gave you some background on that. Also, good news, boys, coming out of Minute Maid Park, as Brian McTaggart has just tweeted. Carlos Correa just told him that his back feels great. He's been running and swinging a bat. He's going to field grounders tomorrow, and he hopes to go on that minor league rehab assignment next week.
Excellent.
Because there were a lot of people thinking that the Stros might have to trade for an infielder because they thought that his rest of his season might be up in the air. Now, that's really good news.
That's like getting an extra bat. You've been without him for a while now.
That's what they said.
Holding your ground.
Hinch said that the other night on the television broadcast. Said, you know, even if we don't make a move, getting our big move could be just getting Correa back.
And McCann. You're going to get two bats back you're getting two starters back in your lineup. So that'll be good. I mean, they still got the 5-game lead. They've held on to that. Not great over their last 10, 5-5, but hey, when the team that's chasing you is 4-6, you gained a game. So you can go 500 and gain a game on the team behind you. That's a good week.
I mean, that's the thing too. I mean, call me pessimistic. I'm a little less optimistic. Yeah, I'm a little less optimistic on McCann. I want to make sure that he's back and agile and ready to go. Great news on Correa. That's fantastic. But the other thing, I was looking at the standings today. Everybody's like, well, you know, you got to be careful. The Mariners are 4 games back. But also pay attention to the fact that the Astros are only 4 games behind the Red Sox. So as much as you're watching the standings within the division, also keep an eye on the fact that with everything the Astros have been through, the Correa injury and other things that they've been enduring, the Giles situation in the bullpen, they're only 4 back of the best record in the American League. And in baseball. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
Hanging in there.
Yep.
So we were talking before the break about what athletes eat and who would consume the most calories amongst the athletes. So I found the list. Now, it's not the most current list. It's a couple years old. This dates back to 2015. But I still think it's going to be pretty accurate. There's some random names here. Matt Khalil. He's a lineman for the Vikings. Yep. 7,000 calories a day.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Arnstein, who is a long distance runner. He's a marathon runner.
Of course.
He consumes 4,000 to 6,000 calories a day.
Wow.
I'll save Michael Phelps because he is the winner, I believe. Nick Hardwick, former San Diego Charger lineman, was consuming about 5,000 calories a day. After he quit football, he lost 85 pounds in 5 months.
Yeah. I put it on the rundown. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I put it on the rundown like a week ago. But Joe Thomas, the all-pro lineman from the Browns that quit, you know, playing this year and he retired,
mm-hmm.
he was talking about the same thing. He was talking about how they, like, the linemen constantly are forcing more and more food down their throat. That he said that literally he lost 50 pounds just by saying, I'm not going to eat until not only am I absolutely hungry, but if I don't feel like I'm going to throw up if I don't get food, I'm not going to eat. And he lost 50 pounds in like no time.
Yeah. The Rockies, 5,000 calories. There's some weird dude named John Call who eats 3,400 to 4,500. J.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
Care to venture a guess at how many calories J.J. Watt eats?
Well, he's
10,000.
He's on the same routine as TJ, so I'm going to go 7,000.
9,000. Another football player, David Carter, consumes 10,000 calories. Riff Raff, who it says WWE wrestling, but he says, although Riff Raff may be first and foremost a musician, his transition into a 240-pound... I didn't know Riff Raff was wrestling now. Is that a thing? Or was that a thing?
Don't catch me lying. I don't know that.
I didn't know.
Riff Raff is wrestling now, but he is apparently consuming 4,000 calories a day. Usain Bolt, 5,500. And checking in at number one by far, Michael Phelps consumes 12,000 calories a day.
God.
And the dude is shredded.
Yeah.
Well, he was. I don't know about that.
So does that mean you burn more when you're swimming than when you're working out? I mean, it just seems to... I know I'm not taking swimming lightly, but I'm saying working out in the gym, it seems like you're burning more to me. I don't know.
Well, you went on the swimming kick for a while, too.
I didn't burn 12,000 calories.
No, but you realize his training regimen's a little different than yours, too. He's probably in the pool for 4 or 5 hours a day.
Yeah,
so
but
it said the most... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
But I mean, I was like 30 minutes an hour a day. I was not getting the equivalent of proportion. You know what I mean? Like, it's just what is he doing?
Well, it said, so the swimming superstar pounds a whopping 12,000 calories per day. Most notably, while training for the Olympics, his diet consists of a pound of pasta, an entire pizza, 3 fried egg sandwiches, grits, and French toast, to name a few. That sounds like heaven to me.
I was going to say, how great would that be? You are working out that much that you could eat whatever you wanted and you were eating that.
The entire pizza part.
I do remember this. Y'all remember the Michael Phelps challenge where after going viral, people tried to eat his diet?
Vaguely.
That was a thing. But people were trying to do the Michael Phelps challenge.
And how many of them died?
Yeah, it was weird because that was about 2015, which is also when diabetes spiked in our country. So I don't know. That's kind of weird. 12,000 calories. I think I could eat 12,000 calories a day. Not every day, but I think I could eat 12,000 calories in one day. I honestly
without gaining any weight, right?
Oh no, I would be fat as hell when the day was over. But I bet you I could eat what Michael Phelps eat: a pound of pasta, an entire pizza, 3 fried egg sandwiches, grits, French toast. I could do all that.
I like the entire pizza part. I mean, I can do that easy.
I'm not doing the grits.
Yeah.
I'm not a grits guy.
No?
No.
Put a little sugar on them.
Nah. Maybe. Butter, whatever.
You're not a grits guy at all?
Nope. Mm-mm. But yeah. You can give me those
hash
browns.
A little butter and some sugar?
Give me them hash browns. I'm going to kill those hash browns, though.
Oh, so you could probably sub, like, hash browns for grits.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I'm not a big grits guy, but I would, you know, butter and sugar. It's just like, I'm a lot like Malt-O-Meal. You didn't like Malt-O-Meal growing up?
Nope. I learned to eat oatmeal, but I didn't like that either.
I was a big Malt-O-Meal guy because anything I could put sugar on, I think I told you guys this before, but I used to sneak into the kitchen and eat spoonfuls of sugar for some reason.
What?
I had a sugar addiction as a kid.
Really?
And I would go in, like, if no one was there, if no one was home, I would just go into the sugar bowl with a spoon from the drawer and just eat a spoonful of sugar.
Now, that's interesting. Let me ask you a question, because Taylor's now kind of transitioning to, instead of just eating Cheerios, she'll eat Rice Krispies for cereal. And I said to Lisa, where's the sugar? She said, what are you talking about? I was like, when I was growing up, you don't eat just plain Rice Krispies. You got to put sprinkle sugar on there.
Or honey.
Yeah, or something sweet. And she's like, nope, honey. Not in California. We'd never do that. I was like, man, in the Midwest, before you couldn't even eat. No one's eating Rice Krispies plain. You got to put some sugar on there, maybe some bananas in there, whatever, some fruit. But you definitely got to sweeten that up.
I'm with you. I used to sprinkle sugar on any cereal. It didn't matter what it was, because the best part was that sugary milk when it was over with.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. That was so good.
I agree.
Yeah, I would always, especially if it was like a bland-ass old people cereal. Like, my mom, for some reason, I guess she hated her kids. I don't know. But she would come home with stuff like Grape Nuts. I'm like, why do you hate us with these whack-ass Grape Nuts? But I would just douse them in sugar, and that you'd be able to eat them.
But like, that milk you're talking about, that's officially become a product. I've seen that on Shark Tank.
We talked about that, yeah.
That's crazy, because a while back, AJ was talking about if he would invent one thing, it would be the milk that you have after Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And I can vouch for him. He said that a very long time ago before this stuff ever
came out.
Should
have hopped on it, man. It's a thing now.
That's crazy, isn't it?
I wouldn't buy it.
That is the best part of cereal. You wouldn't?
No, I wouldn't spend my money on cereal milk. I wouldn't. I would just drink the milk from the cereal that, like, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't go to the store and buy it. I think it's a good idea because people love it, but
Nick's pouring the what's left in the bowl back in the milk carton and just shaking it up.
Yeah, it's the best way to go.
Breaking news, boys. If we want to believe our man, Kelly Eco. If you've got some Red Nation Kool-Aid, you might want to be drinking it, because Kelly is reporting Clint Capela and the Houston Rockets have reached an agreement.
Uh-oh.
So if true, at least you didn't hit rock bottom on your free agency and offseason as you return the most important cog to the puzzle after Chris Paul and James, CP3, and Clint should be reunited once again in Houston for the coming season. There you have it.
So how, did we
get do not have numbers at this time. I am still trying to find numbers on the deal, but Kelly, good for him too, trying to be the next Woj. At least was one to get the information out there, as far as I can tell, first, and has gotten the word out that the Rockets and Clint Capela have agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I expected it to happen.
Grinding.
Yeah, I mean, I expected it to happen. I didn't think they'd let it go, but there was no report of any offer sheet, right, Joel? So there was no leverage being...
Yeah, I don't think he ever got an offer from anybody else. So, yeah, I think that was just a matter of, like, the like we said all along, Rockets aren't going to bid against themselves, but at the end of the day, I think that they kind of want to progress and know that they have him in the books and it's done, so if they do want to make any kind of tweaks or last-minute additions, they know what money they're dealing with.
Yeah, by the way, Aaron Spita said Special K sucked. Yeah, that was also
completely
one of those bad cereals.
And Raisin Bran.
Special K... Cheerios were whack.
Raisin Bran, just plain Raisin Bran. If you didn't add sugar to it, it was just blah.
Yeah. Yeah. Grape Nuts, that was whack.
Hated Grape Nuts. Blech. Mm. It's like you're chewing your own teeth. All that extra crunching. And no reward for the crunch. All right, we've got almost an hour to go in the whole show. So we've got Chris, Clarence, Michael waiting on hold. So we'll get to you guys next segment. We appreciate that. If you want to reach the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So we blew the draft, and we're like, well, that's your Western Conference. I'll be $2 pulling around in the first window, lean out the paint. I'm shocked because standing in front of me is a girl with one tooth. Yeah, I want to say that one more time so we're very clear on what I just said to you people. Not missing a tooth here or missing a tooth here. No. She's only got one tooth. Front right, I know, because it is now staring directly at me. Because for some strange reason, people with jacked up teeth smile more than anyone else does or should. And I'm looking out of this, and I want to say some shit, but I can't, because anything I say might be taken the wrong way, and she still got my damn ice cream. Now, if all these things run through my head, like, the first thing I think is, why keep the one tooth? You know what I mean? When you're everybody's decisions eventually to this point. Maybe you just weren't meant to have teeth, lady. How about you pull that last tooth? I'll pull this car around. We can do this whole thing over again like normal people. Then the next thing I think is, okay, McDonald's, I get it. You're an equal opportunity employer. But who had the bright idea to put the one tooth girl on the window where everyone can see her? And that's when it hit me. I was like, oh my God, how ugly is the bitch in the back making french fries?
There you have it. Sam Damaris, comedian of the week. Barry gave you the backstory, ran the clips. All, if you missed any of it, catch the podcast. Good backstory there from Bear, and every bit of the information was out there on an F Yeah Friday. F is for funny. Sam was our comedian. We appreciate that.
Yeah, follow him on Twitter, at Sam Damaris, D-E-M-A-R-I-S. Funny dude. Whiskey Brothers podcast, laughs on Fox, funny stuff.
Props to Kelly Eco, as I mentioned. He said that Clint Capella had reached an agreement with the Rockets. Now it's official because Woj is tweeting about it. Woj is saying 5 years, 90 mil or 18 per. A five-year deal locks up Clint Capella, so you'll have Chris Paul, you'll have Clint Capella, and you'll have James Harden, regardless of whatever else you have.
Didn't y'all have a bet on this? Who won the bet?
What bet?
We never made an official.
No, we never made an official bet, but we also did the numbers and found out that the actual ceiling max he could get based on his years in the league was a little bit reduced from what we were.
I just remember y'all arguing about this one day in show prep.
We had fun.
It got pretty heated.
Yeah, we had fun.
We didn't make it official, though. He didn't want to take my money.
Who won, though? Who won? Who was right? I don't remember.
Based on these numbers, Nick, you would have won.
Because I said under 25.
Yeah.
But I didn't think. But as the offseason started, like, I was worried I was wrong. Because I did see those numbers that popped up. There was, like, one tweet that said, 27 the first year, I think 29 the second, and then, like, 30 the third.
Oh, damn.
Like, it was ridiculous. And I was like, my God, is Clint really going to get these type of numbers? And, you know, if he could create more for himself, for others, and maybe if he shot a little bit better from the free throw line, maybe you give him that money. But he can't do that.
Also, what helped your cause in the bet and hurt Joel was apparently there wasn't other bidders because there's no talk of matching an offer.
Well, I'm going to tell you what hurt me more than anything was that the Phoenix Suns got the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, that hurt.
Because before they got the number one pick, they desperately needed a big man. Excuse me. They left Alex Lynn get away because he was a bust of a draft pick. And Clint made sense when Kelly started breaking out that they were willing to give Clint the max. When they went away because they got DeAndre Ayton with number one overall, they got their big man. They needed no other big man. The market already became dried up for the most part on bigs. And then when Boogie signed, it's like you got to find a team that has a max slot that is willing to give it to Clint. To your point, Nick, the big thing that I think with Clint is he is a product of a system that has been maxed out. Because they were 50-5 or whatever they were when the three of them played together, that was in his. That's one feather in his cap. Because of the fact that they don't have anybody else that can be that athletic running center that they need with the pace that they play at. And because we talked about having a guy like Chris Paul and James Harden that are facilitators, he doesn't have to be a low post guy with offensive moves or a step back shooter. He just has to do what they need him to do, and he does it better than basically almost anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't proven that he can be great outside of a system or a system that makes him good, and that's partly because he hasn't been with any other team and he's young. But, yeah, time was definitely working against Clint Capella in this dynamic because you saw the big off-season moves and you saw some of the big names that were being thrown around, and, yeah, budgets started to dry up, so... Yeah, I think the Rockets did right in that you don't bid against yourselves. But
and at the end of the day, based on how salaries are this crazy right now, they didn't overpay. I don't think they really overpaid that much.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. So, I mean, I think 15, 18 was about.
Yeah, and the good news is he still works hard every day. He wants to get better. So hopefully that – and he's young. So hopefully there is no ceiling for him yet so he can keep growing. That would be a great thing.
Palillo was talking about this on his sports map video where he said Carmelo won't be the Rockets' biggest offseason acquisition. He mentioned, I think, you know, with question marks around Capella and others, who else is it going to be? But I think this might change things now that Capella got signed. This has to – now when you add Carmelo, I mean, they're out of money, right? I haven't looked at the salary cap recently, but – this was already slotted for them. But yeah, once remember, they add Carmelo, they're pretty much out of money, right?
Yeah, they this money was reserved. Said they split that final mid-level, and Carmelo was going to get half of it. I think Isaiah Hartenstein got at least some of it, if not most all of the rest of it. And Isaiah Hartenstein becomes your Tarik Black. And basically mm-hmm. the roster is all for all intents and purposes, as you mentioned, Barry, I think we're done.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make sense. So, I mean, if you're a Rockets fan, so you're assuming, and again, this is an assumption, they added Carmelo Anthony and lost Trevor Ariza and Luka Mbamute.
Yep.
Is this, are well, you
don't
excited
forget Ennis
about
now.
This offseason?
Ennis was a nice pickup, a quiet pickup.
Yeah, true. Are you happy with this offseason as a Rockets fan?
I'm not.
I'd have to agree with Joel. I expected more. I mean, I'm not disappointed, but
put it this way. It could have been worse.
Exactly.
But I think it was as close to being everything that the Rockets fans had hoped against happened. Because remember now, the start of this whole process started with LeBron being thrown out there. And at the end of the day, the assumptions were being made. You could bring back everybody from last year's team and still add a guy or two and make yourself better. And at the end of the day, you couldn't even bring everybody back from last year's team. But thankfully, you salvaged the guys you had to have in Paul and in Capella.
Yeah, I feel like it's a bit of a disappointment, too, because of some of the names that were being thrown out. And not only that, the last time that the Rockets were pursuing Carmelo Anthony, I didn't want him in a Rockets uniform. And nothing has changed. In fact, I'm more emphatic about it now. So I know there are some, and I've seen them on Facebook and posting pictures of Carmelo in a Rockets jersey and getting excited about it. And be careful what you wish for. I have very little faith and trust in Carmelo Anthony.
I couldn't agree more with you. And when attitude exceeds ability at this point in his career, and all we're hearing is the attitude of, no, I won't take a lesser role. No, I don't want to play it coming off the bench. No this, no that. And know that you're coming to if you do indeed come here, you're coming to a 65-win team with the best record in the league a year ago that already has a system and the players in place to play it, and you're not willing to take a second, secondary, third-type role, third-tier role, and just try and fit in and win, I think it's a real recipe. This is very much different than Chris Paul. Chris Paul, you know what he brought to the table, and you know some of that stuff was stuff they sorely needed. He doesn't bring defense. He brings offense. His offense looked a lot worse than it's ever had a year ago, and he's bringing attitude, and I don't think they need that.
I'm with you. A couple of texts real quick before we go to break. We were talking about jokes and so forth. Chris Householder wrote a joke. You want to hear it?
Sure.
It says, I accidentally clicked on gay porn site the other day. Worst 4.5 hours of my life.
Oh, boy.
It's not bad.
It's not a bad joke.
Barry, who's the funniest person you've worked with either on radio or in comedy? Without a doubt, hands down, it's Pac-Man Joel.
Thank you, Barry. I knew you were going to say that, and I appreciate it.
Barry's best joke will come when he writes his own biography. Was that pretty good? ATF, that was okay. I feel like it needed more sting. It needed more bite. You threw a soft jab out there. It needed a little more bite to it. But not bad.
Chris, Clarence, Michael, hang in there. We'll get your calls after the break. I know I promised at this segment we got a little long. We had to get the Capella news out there. But hang with us.
Indeed.
Half hour to go on the show. We'll get those and a whole lot more interactions in with our listeners right here on The Usual Suspects. Be back with more in just minutes right here on 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
The deal got done for the plate. 5 years, $90 million. Nice to have that done.
Oh, you're 90?
$590 million.
This y'all just telling me this. I don't even know. I got to call him. I'm happy for him, man. It's an opportunity for him. Obviously, to love the game of basketball, but to be able to provide for your family for generations, like, that's what we do it for. So I've seen him work his butt off these last few years. He's gotten better. He listens, he learns, and he goes out there and just competes. I'm happy. For it.
Were you worried about that situation at all? Did you know?
James Harden from USA training camp in Las Vegas, where he obviously just found out about Clint Capela signing that 5-year, $90 million deal with the Houston Rockets. So at least Red Nation can step away from the Kool-Aid for a minute and take a big, deep breath and realize that their center will be back. If you kind of had wavered on what Barry and I were talking about before the break and talking about the and Nick and the value of Clint Capela, he averaged 13-10 while shooting over 65% from the floor last year. And the Rockets were 42-3 when Clint, CP3, and Harden were in the lineup during the regular season. They were 23-14 when at least one of them didn't play. So, again, value found in different ways. Now it's not, you know, all-star games and superstar status. It's what do you mean to your team? And he's an important piece in that puzzle for the Rockets.
Yeah, and good for him, man. I'm glad he got paid. He certainly is one of those cats that has earned it by putting in the work. You remember when he got here to the Rockets, he was just some skinny cat that you were like, who is this dude? And, you know, that was when Dwight was here and he was clawing for playing time and could never really get it. And you just thought, dude, like,
he was no Joe way he's Chi before the floor Joe Chi.
He's so skinny. There's no way he's getting on the floor, but he's really put in the work and the effort and in the weight room and on the court. So I good for him. I'm glad that he got what he got.
And I'm here to tell you, nicest guy on the planet, too. So he did, like you said, kudos to him. He deserves it because, you know, a lot of people can be an a-hole and go and get that kind of deal. You won't ever hear a bad word spoken about Clint Capela. And like you said, he works his tail off. So kudos to him. Kudos to the Rockets for getting that done.
To see where it ranks on the list of centers.
Well, it's better than Boogie Cousins, I can tell you that.
Huh?
It's better than Boogie Cousins, I can tell you that.
Well, his 5 years, $90 million puts him at 10th.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm okay with it.
And again, understand that Boogie's only making 5 point whatever this year, but he'll get that 20-plus deal somewhere.
Yeah. I'll give you who he's behind and who he's ahead of, and you just tell me if that means anything to you. Mm-hmm. He's behind Hassan Whiteside, who's got a $98 million contract.
That's ridiculous. Because
and ahead of Tristan Thompson, who has an $82 million contract.
He's fallen off.
Yeah.
So Whiteside, Miami, by the way, is trying to unload for a bowl of soup because between his ears, he has ruined his time in Miami and no one wants to touch him.
Yeah. So the folks ahead of him, Jokic, Joel Embiid, Andre Drummond, Al Horford, Kevin Love, Marc Gasol, Rudy Gobert, Steven Adams, and Hassan Whiteside. Those are the nine centers in the NBA ahead of Clint Capela on the pay scale.
I'm okay with that.
Not bad.
Kevin Love, a center, is still ridiculous to me, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
All right, we got three callers to get to. Before we do it, I do want to tell you guys about the name game. The name game is what we play every single day during the week here on the station, and one show gives away the prize. Today's prize was a pair of tickets to Local Brews and Local Grooves at the House of Blues. It's Houston's ultimate craft beer and music festival featuring over 20 local craft breweries, more than 40 beers and rare releases, 10 local bands, DJs, brew-inspired pub food, pairings, and more. Tickets start at $15, go up to $65, tasting wristbands included in select ticket packages, and at the event. If you were the lucky name today, you would win two tickets to said event. But John and Raheel Waddell gave it away today. Congratulations, Casey. Casey was the first to call after having that name called and is today's winner. Good luck. We will start the whole thing again on Monday. With that being said, we do appreciate all you guys hanging in there as long as you have with us. Everybody wants to get in here on topics. Clarence, you want to get in? You've been holding the longest. You want to talk about, there's a shocker, the New Orleans Saints.
What up, guys? Happy FGF Friday.
What's up, Clarence?
What's up?
Done much. First off, I want to give a shout-out to Sean Payton and Dennis Allen and Pete Carmichael for going up there to Minnesota to the services of Tony Ferrano. Guys didn't have to do that during training camp, but they did anyway because he was a good friend to all of those guys. So shout-out to them.
Agreed.
And then I want to talk about how good my boys are looking in camp. Oh, yeah, football's around the corner.
Clarence.
Yeah, boy.
Clarence.
Yeah.
Day one of training camp, and you're already acting like they just made the playoffs.
Wait. Day two.
Whatever.
Not day one, day two. Although y'all boy, Mr. Tom Savage, still hasn't practiced yet. I don't even think he's going to make the team. But my real question is, how well do you think Shane Vereen is going to fit with our system? I'll hang up and listen, guys.
There he goes. Here he goes again.
He did the he did the laser
mic. Yep.
He did the OU mic laser.
Why do you need to worry about it. Shane Vereen when you have that Thunder and Lightning backfield? I just don't get it.
Yeah.
And Kamara is so good out of the backfield too. Along, and you got him and Ingram. Whether he's good or bad, he's just an hors d'oeuvre to the main course that's in the back. I don't think you worry about it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that's the thing. Where he fits in is if you see Shane Vereen on the field a lot, something happened.
I agree.
That's not good. I mean, dude, the Saints are going to be a team to be reckoned with this year again.
No doubt.
When you look at them defensively, and that's weird to say that a Saints team defensively is really good. They are stacked defensively. They have some question marks on the interior of that offensive line, but outside of that and maybe, you know, that strong safety with Coleman, that's a pretty damn solid team that they've got over there in New Orleans. So if I'm Clarence, I would be excited too.
I'm totally with you because, like you said, their big glaring weakness was always defense, and now they've done a lot to clean that up. That division, going to be fun to watch, man. I mean, mm-hmm. Tampa Bay already, who finished last in the division last year, is going to miss Jameis Winston for four big, and they're big games early in the season against Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and the like. But it's going to be fun to watch those three teams on top play each other twice, Saints, Panthers, Falcons. That could be the most stacked division in football.
Word.
Yeah. So we got two more
calls.
Don't
worry about Shane Vereen.
Yeah, let's worry about where Shane Vereen plays next. That might be a problem. Let's go to Barry. Your diet with Michael Phelps brought Michael into the mix. Michael, what's up?
Hey, yes. So there's a diet known as known from the 4-Hour Body, and Michael Phelps. The reason why he can consume so many calories is because he's cold all the time. Your body uses a lot of calories to stay warm, keep that blood flowing. And the research shows a good way to lose weight is to put yourself around cold all the time, turn up the AC, don't use jackets. It was just a diet. And the research from that book, The 4-Hour Body, New York Times bestseller, was saying that one of the huge ways to lose weight to put yourself in the cold.
Grow up in Wisconsin. I don't see that diet working in Wisconsin, I can tell you that. And they're all the damn time.
Most of the Midwest gals are pretty thick. I don't know
my theory. I've mentioned it on this show many times. It is not the 4-Hour Body or whatever it is. It is the 40-plus over plan. I'm telling you.
I'm going to have to look that up. You know me. I'm always
intrigued.
Looking at different diets. I don't mind turning the AC down to 60.
Get cold, Nick. Get cold. Get chilly.
Yeah.
Head on up to Green Bay if you want.
There's that one unfortunate side effect about making it cold in the house.
Yeah. Boy. I'm just telling you right now, Nick, you can head up to Green Bay, but you ain't getting no plus-size Latinas up there. It's just going to be cold and white. It's like Christmas. All right, Chris, hang in there. We're going to get you after the break. We got one segment to go in the big show before we wrap it up and put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz. It's an FYF Friday on The Usual Suspects. We'll be back to wrap things up. ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the big show on an F Yeah Friday. It's been fun. If you missed any of it, go back and check out the podcast. Make sure you get your laugh on, as Sam Damaris was our comedian of the week. And so we had three clips of him. Barry in OKC to do comedy of his own was via satellite as we continued to take you through an entertaining Friday afternoon. Having some fun, talking about a lot of things. And, of course, the big news, Clint Capela signing for 5 years with the Rockets for $90 million. So that's taken care of. That's good stuff. And along the way, we talked about food consumption. T.J. Watt of the Steelers, J.J.'s brother, consumes 8,000 calories a day. Barry, what'd you say? J.J.'s nine?
Nine, yeah.
Okay, so the Watt family. The Watt family's bill at HEB, if Scott McClellan wasn't taking care of it here in Houston, I would think, yeah, that's a lot of money.
Right?
So Chris wanted to get in here before we get out. He'd been waiting patiently. We appreciate it. Wants to talk about food consumption. Chris, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's up, man?
What's up, Chris?
Hey, Barry, I ain't gonna lie, man. I'm really disappointed with you. You was kind of trending up. You know, I thought you was gonna be the driver of your own show one day. But now I kind of see that you're just gonna be a poor man's AJ Hoffman. No one puts sugar on grits, man. Nobody puts sugar on grits, okay? Salt and pepper
only. I knew I was gonna catch some heat.
I listen for sports. You know,
but butter, Chris?
You killed me. Butter's fine.
Okay.
You know, you chop your eggs up in there. You put your sausage. You can eat that in there.
Chris,
mix it all up
are
in
you
your
black?
Drink. No sugar.
Are you black, Chris?
I am.
I kind of figured I was going to catch some heat from the black listeners for putting sugar on my grits. I could see that coming as soon as I said it. I was like, uh-oh, I think I've messed up right here.
Yeah, I mean, it took me off.
That's a big no-no.
You said grits, and I was like, okay, cool. And sugar, I was like, no.
Sorry, I got to do what I got to do, man. You ain't got to eat them.
Yeah. Hey, man, you do what you got to do. I guess they say parents put sugar on the grits just to make the kids eat them. You know?
Yeah.
You never got out that stage. Joel, keep driving the ship, man. Do not hand this guy the keys.
Thanks, Chris. Have a good weekend, man. Great call.
Hey, damn, I'm a poor man's AJ Hoffman. That was the worst thing said to me all day.
When you're driving back, that might still be ringing in your attic on the way home.
God, all those hate texts I got in the first hour, and that was the worst thing said to me all day.
Jeez.
I honestly didn't know that putting sugar would get you in trouble.
Oh, I kind of figured it would. Yeah, you know,
I had no idea.
Now, sometimes you either go, like, a lot of my friends growing up, it was either plain grits, maybe a little salt.
I heard salt butter.
Butter was okay.
Yeah,
butter was okay, but not, I mean, it was frowned upon by a lot of folks. You just, good grits, you really shouldn't have to put anything on, but I
What's
have not
good
that
grits?
Cat.
It doesn't really have taste.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what this. I wouldn't know because I'm always sugar and butter. So
okay, sweetie.
Bro, I ate spoonfuls of sugar as a kid.
Yeah.
Of course I'm putting them on grits. I'm a weirdo.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Nick, were you going to argue that point?
The fact that he's a weirdo? Absolutely not. No.
Just throwing it.
Shut your mouth. By the way, let me tell you what Fat Nick did last night.
Uh-oh.
This bastard.
What are you talking about?
I get a text out of nowhere. Hey, how much do you weigh? I was like, I don't know, like 186? Oh, sweet, because I'm 177, fatty. What?
Nick doesn't even remember sending this text.
I do remember it now. I thought he was going to say I ate something, but no, I wasn't. I stepped on the scale and it said 177, and I was shocked. I was like, man, I'm down. I'm already out of the 180s.
Soccer, bro. It's all your soccer. Barry, you can't see him, but he's hobbling around on one and a half legs today because he woke up and suddenly his foot hurt from his 2 days of soccer, I think.
I was going to say, that's diabetes. Boy, you got that diabetes. You better get
in the gym. I said, is it your ankle or your foot? And he goes, yep. I was like, well, yeah, I guess they're connected. All right, we'll leave it there.
I was like,
is
foot,
it your ankle,
ankle,
your foot, your leg, or your back?
It hurts. All of it hurts.
All of the above, yep.
What are you playing in? Flip-flops? What are you?
No, I didn't. I was telling him that I woke up. That's what even Brenda, the really nice saleswoman, she said, well, that's a sign you're getting old. Because I didn't hurt myself on the field. I woke up and it was in pain. I was like, oh, my God. What is this? And then I just started walking around and I couldn't.
He's hobbling today. So, he's on the DL.
That's without a doubt the first time in my life that I woke up with a foot injury. I didn't injure my foot. I woke up with
it. I can honestly tell you it won't be the last.
I've never had that.
I feel like that's how you know you're fat, when you hurt your foot while you're sleeping.
Nope, because I'm 177 and you're 186.
He played soccer 2 days in a row, man. He just didn't play with cleats on.
Were you just playing in sneakers, like tennis shoes or
yeah,
what?
You know those orange ones that I wear? Those Nike, those orange Nikes,
dumbass.
Yeah, that are meant for cross training.
You're lucky you didn't. But what are you playing indoors?
Outdoor. We haven't started the indoor team. We're putting together an indoor.
Yeah, you're
team.
Lucky you didn't bust your ass and hurt yourself falling on your backside.
Yeah, that's why I might reconsider the whole indoor thing. I'm not gonna do that.
Right.
Those sidewalls.
By the way,
can
I think
hurt.
I've been. Arian Spita said you're a flopper. Yeah. I bet.
I admit that I'm a flopper. On the basketball court, I will totally, like, if it was like a, like if there was officials, like there was referees, yeah, I would totally flop. Absolutely. That's like what you're supposed to do.
Like you were hit by a sniper?
I mean, not soccer flop, but I'd flop.
Okay.
Avery G on Twitter said, sugar, butter on grits. I'm black and it's the only way. So there you go.
Well, you got bailed out there.
Yeah, and Willie Will said, you have to chop up your bacon and sausage and mix it with the grits.
Doesn't sound bad.
No, I definitely, anytime you're going to add bacon to the mix or even like a pork sausage or something like that, yeah, I feel like that enhances the flavor of the grit quite a bit. So that's good stuff.
Yeah, I did want to throw this out here before the end of the day. I don't know if you guys saw this, but I threw it on the list because I actually was in disbelief that anybody could even try and accomplish this. But did you see this challenge that this kid did where he's a college kid and he tried to do 30 beers and 30 miles in 30 hours? So in Boston.
What, running?
Yeah. So in Boston, after the whole marathon day and everything like that, they created this thing called a beer-a-thon. And the rules were pretty simple. You woke up, you drank or shotgunned your first beer, you grabbed a Sharpie, and you marked a slash on your arm. And throughout the day, you had to consume enough beers to keep on your arm a tally until you hit 30. And over the same day, you had to either run, walk, jog, however you did, get at least 30 miles in. And you got to do the whole challenge within 30 hours. So this guy goes and gets the marathon out of the way and completes 30 miles and has 10 beers to go. And there's a video of it on the Bro Bible, but literally, like, he's almost running. He gets done with the actual 30 miles and is trying to get from the course to his house. And his head is on his shoulder and he's leaning sideways like he's going to fall and hit a wall. He gets home and he loads up the bathtub with ice and water and sits there and still has people bringing him beers to try and get to 30.
30's a lot of beer.
You ain't kidding, man. And think about all that a marathon. Now, they said that beer helps in the recovery from marathons. I did not know that.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
I don't see how that's even possible.
I didn't have any beer. I ran one marathon and there was no beer involved at all. None. It was me with my head on a table, completely dehydrated at an Outback Steakhouse for about an hour. I didn't want a beer. I didn't want anything. I wanted to die.
Yeah, Lisa's run like 15 of them, and it's just, it seems like it's the most excruciating pain and what you feel when you're done. So
the last thing you're thinking about is a beer.
You would think, right? So I guess in reading this, so when he got done.
No, I can tell you. It's the last thing you're thinking about.
So when he got the 30th mile done, he still had 15 beers to go, 10 hours on the clock. And that would have been pretty easy if his body hadn't decided to shut down entirely just hours before the deadline. That's when he completely immersed his body in ice, but still continued to drink. He made it at 29 hours and 3 minutes, 30 beers, 30.03 miles. Can you imagine what the next day must have felt like?
I can only imagine. Nope. But I guess Frisbee golfers can do that, right? Because all they do is walk around and drink beer and throw Frisbees.
Okay, Frisbee golfers as opposed to 30 miles?
How many miles do you walk when you're playing golf? I don't know.
But he's not walking. He literally ran a marathon. He was, for the most of it, he was jogging or running the whole time.
It's crazy. Would not do that. And would not think of beer for recovery either.
No.
Last thing.
I agree. All right, Barry, have a good weekend. Kill him in the comedy, and we'll see you back here on Monday, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. That'll do it for the Usual Suspects for another great week. We'll wrap it up. For Nick, for Barry, I'm Joel. Y'all have yourself a great weekend. Stay tuned. The Blitz is next. They'll take you home till 7 on SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, boy. ESPN 97.5.